It is Kent Neitzert in the garden. All right, so we were speculating off your air just a second ago, and I think I've come up with a brilliant idea, though, for you. A retractable roof on the greenhouse, uh-huh. So days like this when it does rain, you don't have to water.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's an idea, all right.
It might mess up your paperwork.
I'm not sure that it's a good idea, but it's an idea.
Well, you know, it's something I always trying to help.
Throw it against the wall, see if it sticks.
There you go.
Yeah.
Somebody made a fortune on the chia pet.
Yeah, wasn't me.
And that was a growing kind of thing, too. So.
Uh-huh. See? And Furbies.
Yeah.
And all those things.
That kind of stuff. Kent Neitzert in the garden with us this morning as spring is slowly trying to get a foothold here.
I have some flowers in bloom in my front yard.
Really?
Some iris, some reticulata iris, the little short ones.
Okay.
And yeah, they're in bloom. I would assume that if you look around, you can find some crocus in bloom somewhere.
Okay.
The daffodils I've seen are up, so it has started.
And some of the trees are budding.
Yeah.
Most of them are starting to.
Yeah, they're starting to. Strange, though, that I'm still collecting some sap, and normally, you know, the normal sap period for maple syrup, it starts President's Day, which is somewhere around the 20th of February, and usually done by about the 15th or 20th of March, and so we didn't even start till after the first part of March, and it's pretty much stopped flowing now, so we'll probably collect the buckets and get rid of those, but... And I know last year at this time, some of the fruit trees were in blossom already. And this year, they're not even close. Mm-hmm. So it is a slower season. And I think one of the things that we find that anything that was exposed to the air, like the tops of the trees, are slower. But those things that were buried under the snow weren't exposed to that exceptionally cold temperature. And so I think we're going to find that, like the Tulip Festival, those tulips are not going to be that far off of once we get the snow off the ground, so the mm-hmm. ground can start to warm up. They're probably not going to be that far off
the
schedule.
All right, this might be more of a meteorological thing. Why does the snow melt sooner? It appears to, in a way, around the base of trees.
Yeah, I've seen that. I don't know whether
is it the warmth of the tree?
Yeah, it might be, and it might also be that there's a little bit less snow there because of the wind currents going around the tree, hollowing that area out. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, I've noticed that as well.
It seemed to work its way out from the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was just kind of interesting. So, all right,
yeah.
We are talking trees today.
That's
way,
right.
So.
It's time. One of the first things we can do out in the yard is get the pruning shears out, long-handled loppers, and get to work. One of the things you want to do is go through your yard and look at the trees that you have and first remove any broken or damaged limbs. Then we want to remove any limbs that are crossing and rubbing against each other, because that's going to just be a source of a wound on the tree that will be a place for infection to get into the tree, so we don't need that. Then a lot of pruning is done just to maintain a smaller structure on plants. The forsythia and the lilacs, if we're not careful, they get old and get real big and tall, especially some of the older varieties. So we can rejuvenate those by putting them on like a 3 or 4 year cycle, so that if we want a 4 year cycle, we go in there every year and remove a fourth of the oldest growth. And the next year we remove a fourth of the growth in there too. And so that no growth in the tree, in that shrub, becomes more than 4 years old. So it stays younger, more rejuvenated, and those young new branches are the ones that flower more prolifically.
So you're going actually to the kind of the interior of it?
Yep, you're going right to the base of the plant, and you're counting, and you say, okay, there are 25 branches coming up in that tree, and so you take 25 and you divide it by 4. You can get your calculator out to figure that one out if you want. And so I remove about 4 or 5 of those branches at a time, and maybe 6, depending on how your math works. And keeps it nice and young and invigorated. If it's really bad, I've seen them go through and just chop the whole bush shrub to the ground. It takes about 3 to 4 years for it to come back into full bloom and regalia, so it looks really nice. The other thing we want to prune is our fruit trees, if you have them in your yard. And we do the same sort of a process. We take any broken branches and crossing branches, and the other thing we want to do with the fruit trees, especially if I take an apple tree, for example. An apple tree, if you just leave it go by itself, will produce way too many apples for the tree to produce quality apples on it over that a period of time. So what we do is we go ahead and remove a lot of the fruiting wood on there, probably a third of it each year maybe, is so that it really is so that the apples we get on that tree are much bigger and much more lush. And that process is somewhat of an art. We take each branch and we decide if it's going to stay or go, and we decide if it needs to be pruned off. You reprune it right where it sprouts away from another branch so that we don't have stubs sticking up. The other thing with apple trees is a lot of people like to keep them relatively short. We do have dwarf and semi-dwarf trees as opposed to standard varieties trees. Very few people anymore plant standard varieties trees. They're just too tall. It's hard to get up and spray them. It's hard to get up and harvest the apple trees, so we take smaller trees. And we also keep the top cut out of them so they are short enough that we can perhaps even stand on the ground and harvest all the fruit. If not, we can do it from a small ladder rather than having to get a big ladder or large ladder out there. Your smaller fruit, like your berries and grapes and blueberries and raspberries and those kind of things, also need to be pruned to keep them most productive. And the way to prune those is, again, it's somewhat of an art, and you got to know what you're looking for. But my father always said it was really easy to carve an elephant out of a stone. You just chip away everything that doesn't look like the elephant. Yeah, that's real easy, but sometimes when you're pruning, you got to be... It takes some experience. You can go online and you can see pictures of what to do, what it looks like before and after. But I've never found the tree that looks like exactly like the before, so it's hard to figure that one out. But the thing to remember is if you make a mistake, it may be 3 years to cover that mistake up, but it'll grow back unless you cut it, you know, just above the ground. Yeah. Then you're in trouble. So don't be afraid to go in and cut and prune those limbs out. Most people tend to not want to prune enough wood out of their trees to make them most productive, and enough off of your grapevines to make them most productive. So go ahead and get at those, and those are the kind of projects that can be done now. You'd like to do them before the plants start to bud out, but even I've pruned some of the trees even after they've started to bud, and it's not a problem. The commercial orchards will get in there probably anytime after the first of the year when you don't have hip-deep snow to wade through, and you don't have ice-cold temperatures to work around. So my guess is the commercial orchards are busy trying to finish up their pruning projects at this time of year.
All right. So questions for Kent Neitzert, 279-1590. That's the number to call. 279-1590, whether it's about your fruit trees, pruning, or whatever else you might have gardening-wise as we start out the season on our In the Garden segment brought to you by Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist.
If you've always wanted to grow and harvest your very own fruit, you won't want to miss the Fruit Care Clinic being offered by Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist Saturday, April 5th. The clinic will cover how to plant, prune, spray, and care for most types of fruit crops. Sign up online at neitzertsgreenhouse.com or call 278-4148 to reserve a seat. It's always more fun to garden when you know what you're doing, and Neitzert's is the place to go to get smarter. Mark your calendar for Saturday, April 5th at noon to learn from an expert. Neitzert's, 1.5 miles south of U.S. 12 on Fisk Road, or on the web at neitzertsgreenhouse.com.
All right, it's 3 minutes before 8 o'clock as we head to the phone lines here this morning for Kent Neitzert in the Garden. Hi, go ahead with a question for Kent.
Yes, you're talking about just exactly some questions that I had. Is it too soon to trim a rose bush, which I didn't get trimmed last year, and it got too tall, and it looks kind of ugly at the bottom, but it's pretty at the top?
Sounds like my old girlfriend. No, it's not too early. You just need to go in and prune it probably the same as you would have done last fall. The one thing that I like to do with rose bushes is wait. You might wait a couple of weeks yet, because if you wait that long, you'll start to see the buds starting to swell. So you want to prune back to just about a quarter to a half an inch above where there's a nice bud that's swelling out, because that's where you will get growth. And if the top of it happens to be dead, then you don't want, you'll find that if it's sprouting 3 inches below a dead spot, then you go back in and you have to recut that. But in general, if it's like a hybrid tea rose, you'll want to leave maybe 3 to 4 good strong canes and prune them off 18 to 20 inches above the ground, because if you kind of remember what they looked like when you bought them, they'll put a ton of growth out on top of them, 3 or 4 feet in a year. So if you don't cut them down low enough, then your rose bush is going to be exceptionally tall by midsummer or early fall.
Okay, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. All right, good luck with it.
And I didn't know if the future frost yet is going to damage them if I trim them too soon.
No. The thing you're worried about with pruning is that pruning is going to encourage new growth, and you want that growth to get, if it started, and it won't start now until we get warmer weather, but if we're pruning late, like in late summer, early fall, the new growth, you want to get out and have it mature and harden off before freezing weather sets in, and that's not generally a problem with the spring.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Good luck with it. For the roses themselves, should you be doing anything now as far as fertilizing, anything, or just hold off?
Yeah, we could get some fertilizer on them, because that most of that fertilizer, the cold temperature, is going to set there until the plants start to grow. One of the things we want to do, and with our fruit trees and our fruits and our roses and things like that, is to get some dormant sprays on them. There are about 4 bazillion insects and eggs waiting to weather to warm up and get attacking those plants. If we put a dormant oil spray on, that oil will cover those eggs and those dormant insects and smother them. So we'll decrease a lot of the insect problems by putting a dormant oil spray on. We can also put some dormant fungicidal sprays on there, one being Bordeaux mix, that will help eliminate a lot of the fungal diseases that will occur. The thing just to remember is that we need to wait about 10 days between applying the dormant oil before we put the Bordeaux mix on, because it has copper in it, and that copper and oil doesn't react well on the plant in close proximity.
Well, April showers are here, obviously. Yep. Does it matter putting that stuff on when it's wet?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Will it get washed off very quickly? Or?
Yeah, that's what you want to be careful. The oils, you'd like to put oils on when you've got about 24 to 36 hours of above temperature freezing, so that it has its chance to work, and we don't want it to, we'd like it not for to wash off immediately, so we need that period of time for that oil to set on there and kind of set in and dry. Same with the Bordeaux mix, you want to not put it on when it's wet. The copper in the Bordeaux mix tends to help it stick to the plant, I think, a little bit, but again, you'd like to have a day or two of non-rainy weather for that to stick and stay on.
All right, and the fruit clinic again, the country
clinic?
That's
this Saturday. Mm-hmm. At noon, we'll go over everything I know about fruit trees, and then that'll be take the first 5 or 10 minutes, and we'll try and answer a lot of questions. And the good thing about it, I think, for most people is we'll go out into the greenhouse and some of the trees that have been in the greenhouse, we'll do some pruning. We can go right out into the yard and get some trees that are 20, 30 years old and show you how to prune those, and hopefully it's not raining and it's decent weather, so we can stay outside and you can actually grab the pruners and help.
So you do like the Huck Finn thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And we'll whitewash the fence to boot.
All right. Good luck with it. We'll talk next week. Kent Neitzert in the garden with us this morning. Brought to you by Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist.